I was thinking about it this morning before we got into this show, because the name of this show is, hold on, let me just make sure that I document that, because I'm going to just go ahead and knock out that. The name of this show is Middle Class, right? And the reason that I named this thing Middle Class is because I believe that we have a very dysfunctional view of what being middle class is, of what being in the middle is, of what average is, even of what our goals should be. And I get a lot of reports, and then I have to do a deep dive and I have to do some research to understand where this data is coming from and if it's even true. And then I start to zero in on certain cities. So if, for example, they tell me, hey man, a rent moratorium is up and it's a whole bunch of evictions throughout the country, I want to know where and what demographic and what neighborhoods and what cities are the most affected. And if they say that crime is it's exploding over here, or I want to know what kind of crime. Is it petty crime? Is it theft? Is it retail? Is it shootings? What is it, right? And so as I'm going through this stuff and as I'm looking and I'm really putting it together, and I think that the conversation needs to evolve even more, right? Because what we often say is, how much money you got? And you equate whether or not somebody is doing well by whether or not they can buy a lot of stuff. It's the cars, it's the clothes, it's the jewelry, it's the rappers, it's the lifestyle flying here and there and so on and so forth, right? But then when you look at, and I start to peel behind the curtain, so for example, I may be talking to or maybe having a conversation about something that an NBA player has said. And then you go in and you look at the data and the statistics, and regardless of how much money a lot of these guys, on average, that means that if you take the collective and then you divide it by how many people actually did it, then you get the average. And the average NBA player, for example, or I'm sorry, the average NFL NBA player, major sports league player goes broke within 5 years of leaving their respective sport. Five. On average, that means you take the whole group, you divide it by how many people in a group, and that's how you get your data and your talking point. On average, five people. Shout out to Think and Throw Podcast. I'm going to read that super chat shortly. I appreciate you. 5 years before they go bankrupt. Lifestyle. Money. And everybody say, yo, if I was making that type of money, I would do it different. But no, you wouldn't. You would be in the same boat as everybody else, because they just like you. They're just like you. And so I started to deep dive into some stuff. And then I said, well, you know, we've already talked about the fact that you don't want to look at wealth from how much money you got in the bank or how much money you make. You want to look at it based off of net worth, right? And so I beat this into y'all head and I say net worth, net worth, net worth, net worth, net worth. And what is net worth? It's the assets minus the liabilities, and that's how much money you're worth. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. It matters how much money you got access to, right? And so your net worth is largely the number that we use to gauge or to determine whether or not you are solidly this or you solidly that. Are you rich? Are you poor? Are you middle class? Could you be able to survive for the rest of your life? How is your income coming in? All of that, right? But that doesn't tell the full story. Here's the question. And here's the thing that I really want to say to you guys as we get started with the show, because we got a lot to cover. We're going to go over what $100,000 really means all across the country. We're going to talk about people getting laid off. We're going to talk about Google. We're going to talk about these protests. Chicago, residents are complaining. We're going to even go into the news and deeper dive even further than you ever dived before on the Millionaire Morning Show and going forward. But what is the real flex? That's the question that we got to ask ourselves. Is it TikTok? Is it Instagram? Is it being married? Two-parent household? Spirituality. What is it? Is it net worth? What's the real flex when we're talking about it from a financial perspective? Because everything is all included. You being able to pull 10 times your weight with two people that are on the same page is phenomenal. You having a decent net worth? Awesome. But how do you really, on a personal level, when you remove all of the layers and you remove all of the social media, and you got to go to bed tomorrow, when you wake up in the morning, how do you determine that you actually made it? And this is what I've come down to. And it's a very, very, very simple thing. whether you actually own your home. Now, I'm not saying own as far as going to mortgage from the bank. Your number one priority, I want to give y'all a goal. I want to give y'all something to work towards. I want to give you something to milestone out. When I say milestone out, that means you start at the end goal and then you reverse engineer how fast it takes for you to get there. When I pay a contractor, usually what we do is I don't give them all of the money up front. I don't give them all of the money at the end. We milestone it out. So as you continue to progress through the project, right, when you meet this criteria, when you get this inspection, when you're this far along, then I'll release this amount of money and I'll release this amount of money and I'll release this amount of money. And that's usually how we do with our contractors when it comes to web development, right? Whenever we give a contract out, we break it down based off of milestones. And we can have 5 different milestones, 4 different milestones, depending on how big the project is. And we release the monies as they continue to progress throughout the project. And we show exactly how much you have to go in order to get the next milestone, in order to get the next payment release. And that way, I'm happy. I can see the progress. You happy. I know you ain't defrauding me and stealing my money. Everybody's happy. Everybody gets to the bag, right? The new flex is, and this should be your number one goal. Your number one goal is to have a home that you own that is not owned by the bank and then issued to you in a form of 360 payments. That's 30 years. That's the goal. Owning your home completely. And it removes all of the barriers. And this is how I came up with it. It removes every single barrier to what wealth should be like. And it unlocks the potential of what you could do because you're no longer bound by the same standards that the rest of society is going by. Everybody is out here paying rent. Everybody is out here paying a mortgage. Everybody is out here getting PMI and all of this stuff, right? But when you have a place to stay and you don't have to worry about losing your home or not having to make a payment over to the bank or the interest payments or ARM or rising interest rates and all of this stuff, boy, I'm telling you, and you don't know it until you felt it. The possibilities of what you can do and how you can invest and where you can start to empower yourself by having money going out to this place and that place and then doing this investment and then being able to live the life that you want to live. It's incredible. And I know people want to get into the details. Oh, this interest rate or whatever. Look, bro, listen, I'm telling you. When you have a home that you can live in, and let me separate it, because I know that it's a lot of people that always like to get into the weeds and make it more complicated than it really is. I'm not talking about an investment property. That's cool, too. That's not what we're talking about right now. I'm not talking about people looking at the home that they're living in as an investment. I'm talking about your home being the place where you lay your head at night and you don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to be living van life next week. Or if you get laid off, you're going to be able to figure it out. It may be a little rough, but you always going to be able to come home. And if your daughter is going through something or your son is going through something and they having a little bit of a problem in their life financially, they can always come home, right? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the place that you make a residence, the place that you live. A lot of times we get so caught up in all of these terms and these talking points, and we want to make it more than what it really is. Your home is a place that you're supposed to have peace, tranquility, refuge. And then when you finally get to the point where you can start to break out and do things a little bit differently because you don't have to deploy all of your capital and resources in order to be able to make sure that you can live, it unlocks a world of possibilities. It just blows the doors off of every single possibility and exponentially multiplying your net worth if you 100% own without payments. Now, you still got to pay your property taxes, right? But if you own that thing outright, and see, think about what I'm saying and let's really break it down. I'm not telling you to go and own a multi-million dollar home because the property taxes is high on that. I'm not telling you that you got to go out here and really break out and what's, I don't care what the square footage is of your home. That's irrelevant to me because it's a whole lot of people that got a whole lot of jumbo mortgages and it's 8 banks involved in financing that property because they wanted to get a multi-million dollar home. I'm not talking about people making payments. I'm talking about the separation between the place that you're trying to have in order to impress other people and the place that you have to go to in order to be able to seek refuge, your home. Honestly, I value somebody that has a paid off home that they live in more than somebody that's living in a multi-million dollar property with a whole bunch of mortgages on it. That don't impress me. I mean, that's cool. I like it. That's cute. Lifestyle, popping, getting it going. That's awesome. But you got a crib that's paid off? Man, you in there, bro. You way further along than the majority of Americans, and you are living the American dream. You can put up your white picket fence. You can go get some sprinklers. You can go and build you a deck. Don't finance it, right? You have something that you can pass down to your children when you pass away. You have an asset that you can pass down to them that they'll always be able to come home to that can stay in the family. You know how good that feel? To know that no matter what, this person will always be able to have refuge. If anything was to ever happen to you, that your wife or your kids will always be straight and taken care of because they ain't got to worry about being able to make a house payment or trying to figure out where they're going to live. It's different. I want y'all to start thinking about things more practical. I want y'all to take from these shows and from these conversations. And when you go into the Patreon, you got a different mindset because when we start doing Stock Club or, you know, when we do our live streams or when I drop a video, I want you to go into it with a clear mind, not under duress, worrying about whether or not if you get laid off, your home is going to get foreclosed on and it's going to go back to the bank after you made 260 payments. You didn't make the 360 payments. I'm telling you, it's different. You ain't got to live extravagant. You just got to live comfortably. It's about what you set as the goal. All of that financing and stuff, man, that's the bank's terms in order to try to finesse you into buying more and spending more than you really need in order to do things that don't even impress nobody but yourself. Real talk. I want y'all to have different goals. I want you to have and be more intentional and stop living life based off of everybody else's race and run your own race and get that crib and get it paid off. That's y'all goal. If you don't have that, if y'all got vision boards, if you don't have goals, if you're not milestoning this out, if you're not intentional, if every single payment that you make, you don't give a little bit extra in order to go over to the principal, we got a problem. We got a problem, all right? Okay? All right, let's get to it. Let me read some of these super chats and then we're going to get started with the show. I got a good one lined up for y'all. I got a good one lined up for y'all today. Think and Throw Podcast says, dopest morning show out. Keep cooking, AD. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. Eshawn Dixon says, nobody talk about good character and money like you. We like to be, you know what I'm saying, an equal accountability smoke giver. We want to give it on a good side and a bad side. P. Shank says, Mr. Anton Daniels, the Millionaire Morning Show, I enjoy your shows and I enjoy you being here. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you, P. Shank. DJ Kane in the building says, migrants seeking refuge from the same places we take vacations to is crazy. Ain't that crazy? Oh, we going to dig into it. We going to dig into it. Golden Pisces says, most people get a mortgage, rack up equity, and then sell in 5 years. I don't know anyone that's paid a mortgage for 30 years. Well, also, you don't know anybody that actually owns their home because it's owned by the bank. Come on, y'all. Listen. I don't know who you know, but there is a large segment of people that don't have a mortgage and they live in mortgage free. Listen to me. There is a large segment of people that is just laying low. They not talking about it. They not flexing about it. They don't want you to know that they live in a good life. They don't want you because then you're going to get jealous. There is a large segment of people. The first time that I ever seen somebody buy a car, cash, I ain't even going to cap. I'm going to tell you the honest to God truth. I was in a Saturn dealership. You remember Saturn? You remember Saturn? I had bought this car. It was a Saturn Aura, right? And it was in the early 2010s, I think, like that, or maybe a little bit before that. Before GM went out of business. No. It was 2004, 5? I don't know. It was something like that. But it was the first time that I had ever seen somebody, and I was in a finance office, and I was getting a car or whatever, and it was like a little black Saturn Aura. And I made a mistake, and I overseen like the little sales thing from the finance guy in his office, and it was sitting on his desk, and it was over to the side. And I was financing it, and at the time, it was like, yeah, okay, I'm financing it. I got this car and all the whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I looked over, and I seen that somebody had paid cash, and I was like, wait a minute. I was like, somebody, and I asked him, this is the honest to God truth. I asked him, I said, somebody buy a car cash? He was like, yeah, that guy that had just came in here. And I was like, what? It blew my mind. I was like, people actually pay cash for cars? Like brand new cars. They walk into the dealership. They sign the paperwork. They say, I don't want a warranty. They wire the money over, or they just swipe their card or whatever. And then they just get the car and then they just go. He was like, oh, yeah. He's like, Anton, he came in. He bought the car for his daughter. And then he just left out. And I was like, I don't know why, but maybe it was just because I just wasn't used to being in a position to be able to do that, even though I was making a lot of money. And I was just like, damn, it's people. It blew my mind. I was like, people actually walk into the dealership and buy brand new cars and don't even finance. And I was telling Rita, I remember this was so long ago. I was telling Rita, I was like, do you believe? I was like, they just walked in. And she was like, really? Because we had been conditioned for our whole life to think that that's what you was just supposed to do. We was conditioned our whole life to say, hey, listen, what you do is you get good credit, and then you go in and you just finance a car or whatever. And so when I started to unlock my mind, and it was just so simple and it was stupid, and I was like, I was thinking I was in my early 20s or something like that, and I was just like, people do that? They just walk in, they got the money. They got the money to be able to do that? What? That was crazy. Now look where we at. Until you see it for yourself, I'm not even sure that you know that it's true. I don't even know if you know that it's possible. Unlock our minds. It seems so simple, but it's a big deal. It's a really big deal to be able to go to work and then get paid, and then know all of your money, every single dollar that you have is yours. You ain't got to give it to this company. You ain't got to pay no credit card. You ain't got to pay no financing guy. You ain't got to give it over to the bank. Do you know what it's like to not have bills? Like, that's supposed to be normal. When you come home and you get your wire and you get your direct deposit, you know what it feels like to get a direct deposit and have nothing to have to pay? To just have it sitting there and you don't even think about it? That your budget is based off of whatever you want to spend on groceries, or, you know, where you're going to travel to, or how much we want to allocate to this, or, hey, listen, I want to set this money aside because we want to go ahead and buy them flights this month instead of next month. It feel different. You should feel it. You should feel it. Honestly, you should feel it. Make sure y'all tap into the Patreon link is in the description as well as pinned to the top of the chat.